The New Testament reading from the book of Revelation, John speaks about the new heaven and the new earth that is going to be here at the end of time when Jesus returns. Again of that, John says, "The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city and New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." That New Jerusalem that John speaks of is us. It's the body of Christ. It's the church in its glory. Then he hears a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God." This is not something that we can expect in the future. It's something that's happened here and now. While we look forward to the resurrection of the dead in the future times, the fact is that through baptism, you and I have already risen with Christ to a new way of life. That the body of Christ, that holy city, New Jerusalem, exists already in its way toward glory, not quite in glory just yet. But even so now, God's dwelling is with the human race through us. That's what Jesus intended. For the church to continue to be his presence in the world as he himself would ascend into heaven, the church would continue to do those things that he did while he himself was here on earth. And we know that God's dwelling is certainly with us, that Christ dwells in us because, as St. Paul says, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Blessed Sacrament is here among us. We receive the Eucharist so that we ourselves become living tabernacles, and God does indeed dwell with the human race. We are his people, and God himself will always be with us as our God. And Revelation says he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, no more wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. Through us, the church, God wants us to bring life where the world brings death. He wants you and me to bring comfort when people find themselves mourning or wailing. He wants us to bring our compassion when we find people in pain. The old order has passed away. Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." Again, that includes us. He made us something new by his grace. In the gospel, Jesus says, "My children, I'll be with you only a little while longer, but I give you a new commandment, love one another." And there's anything that speaks about Jesus living in the church, it's the fact that we have love for God and that we love one another. "As I have loved you, so also you should love one another. And this is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, in the Old Testament, God gave a command very similar to that. He said, "You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." Easy enough. If I love myself and I want to preserve myself, then I want to love and preserve my neighbor. But then Jesus says something different. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." You may have seen this little quote. It says, "I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he opened up his arms. He said, this much, and he died." And looking upon the cross, we see the extent and the depth of Jesus' love. That was for you and for me. Jesus loved us more than he loved himself. So Jesus is challenging us not to simply love our neighbor in the same measure that we love ourselves, but to love our neighbor even more than we love ourselves, even to the point of death and self-sacrifice. That's not easy, but that's what he calls us to do. To give of ourselves out of love for others, even if it means the cost of our own lives, or, as it normally would happen, at the cost of our own comfort or reputation. The world in which you and I live is very hostile to the Christian message. Here we are as a church for 2,000 years proclaiming the dignity of human life from natural conception till natural death. Yet the world wants to force abortion and euthanasia. Here we are saying that God's plan for marriage and family is one man united to one woman, and that this life is to be open to the future generations. As God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." And now we have all kinds of craziness asking for marriage to be redefined in so many different ways, and sexual expression in so many ways. None of this is of God, of course. We have our world saying you have to live for yourself, and Jesus says live for others. It begs the question, why be Christian then if I can't be like the world? quite simply because the world is passing away. The world will die. Christ was once dead, but he lives forever. This is why we're Christians. It's because of the eternal life that God promises. As the psalm says, the Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger. He is of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. As the Lord has been gracious and merciful to us, we too should be merciful and gracious to others. As the Lord has been slow to anger and of great kindness, we too should be slow to anger and of great kindness. Always, however, encouraging people to leave behind sin, to leave behind error, to live in grace, and to live in truth. In the gospel we had Friday for Mass, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That hasn't changed. There's only one way, and it's the way of Jesus Christ. There's only one truth, that is the truth of Jesus Christ. There's only one life, and that is the life of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the way. He is truth, and he is life. Oftentimes, when we as Christians speak up, when we try to live our faith, we're called many things. We're called hypocrites, but then again, all people fall short of God's glory. We're not perfect, but on the way there. People say to us, "You're not being nice to me because you don't affirm my beliefs." There's no commandment that says we have to be nice. Nice people simply sit and smile while other people do wrong and say nothing about it. We can't do that. We have to call right right and wrong wrong, call out sin, but also call people through mercy and compassion back to forgiveness. We're told by people, "You can't judge me." Well, yes, Jesus did say, "Judge not lest you be judged." But what he's saying is we can't condemn somebody to hell, or we can't push somebody into heaven. Only God can do that. We don't know the interior workings of a person, but can we call certain actions good and certain actions evil? Of course we can, because God himself told us what those things are. But despite all of that, God still wants us to love one another, and love always means willing the good of another person, to always will that person's good. The supreme good is a person's eternal salvation. May we be good to all. May we be compassionate to all his works. But in our kindness, in our mercy, also show love. Love for the sinner, love for the saint, love for one another, loving others more than we love ourselves, and loving Christ most of all. Then others shall know that we are his disciples, for he has made all things new by his love, as we make all things new by our love.